Good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Wednesday, the 25th of November. It is, Villa fans will love this, it's Happy Alan Hutton Day, isn't it? It is 2 years since he ran the length of the pitch against the old Blue Noses and scored. You lot, the old boys on Twitter, they do make me laugh. The old Villa fans, Coventry fans, Birmingham fans, all having little jabs at each other. But yeah, he scored that goal 2 years ago today. If you haven't seen it, go on Twitter, Google Alan Hutton, or Google Alan Hutton goal Birmingham 2018, if you don't on Twitter, and the video will come up. Runs the length of the pitch and slots it and then leaps in the crowd. Of course, we made him at Tottenham, didn't we? What else is there? What else? Has this gone through a billion? I see the presidential market, old orange face, it's gone through a billion. Somebody grabbed all the 103 on Joe Biden this morning, so he's into 102, about 18 mil sat there, I think, when I looked. Incredible. I wonder when they're going to, well, I suppose December the 14th, are they? Honestly, it is a shambles, isn't it? And Randy Quaid coming out. I mean, the President of the United States retweeting Randy Quaid. Could the world get any more surreal? Randy Quaid, who skipped bail with his missus and was on the run for God knows how long. But he did save, was it Independence Day? When he jumped into the beam of the spaceship, was it Independence Day? One of those, wasn't it? Whatever, one Armageddon, Independence Day, I don't know. Waffling. What else have we got? A few of you into that Wim Hof, aren't you? Into the old freezing cold water. Yeah, I'll have a look at it. Sam said to me, she said, you know some people, don't you? I said, yeah. I said, I do. I do tend to draw the old weirdos. Suggsy, Art, Gary Smith, Keto Matt, Kevin Kelly, Shazwad. There's not a right one amongst them. Anyway, what else we got? We got a couple of pod horses. I'm a shamble. I've been doing some of the nags again this morning, so I'm all over the place. Couple of pod horses. 4 o'clock, Kath's Toy Boy. And 5:30, Autumn Twilight. 4 o'clock, Kath's Toy Boy, Kempton. These are 4 o'clock, Kath's Toy Boy. 5:30, Autumn Twilight. Couple of winners yesterday. One, I'm informed, went out to about 90 in running. Had a little 10 minutes with Chrissy, old spreadsheet yesterday. He needed a bit more help, a bit more Excel help. He made an absolute rick of one of my sheets. Absolute gnaws up. So I had to sort him out. He's got like a new studio to make his videos, Chrissy. Like, he makes all his YouTube videos for his channels and things. And don't get me, he's excellent. And he's sat there, but he's got a little pink light behind him, lighting up the wall behind him. So I said, what are you sitting in that pink light for? And he said, oh, do you want to see my light? And he sat there pressing buttons, nothing happened. And after about 2 minutes, he can have it whatever colour he likes. So he could have it blue, green, you know, so he's going through the colours. And then he sets it back to this pink. So of all the colours he's got, blue, orange, green, he chose the pink. It makes him look like he's sat in a brothel. He looks like he's sitting in a brothel, old Chrissy. Like the old madam in a brothel. Yes, yeah, the old dodgy businessman coming in. Sort yourself out, Spready. What else we got? Christmas, we can have three families, can't we? I really haven't actually paid. I got so fed up with Matt the Cock coming out and talking. I don't even know what the rules are anymore. I just don't go out. I just haven't been out. We're on a world of madness and you can't read any news on Twitter or anywhere else because you just get... it's amazing the disinformation and what people say and how it gets believed. You can't believe anything now. You really cannot believe a word. We are going into full... Somebody has pulled the plug out and the water is spiralling and we are going into full meltdown. It is amazing the views people have. And it's all going to get worse. Brexit, vaccine, that, all the old anti-vaxxers will be kicking off. Amazing. I was talking to a bloke about the vaccine. It's one of the racing guys 2 days ago. I've never, ever done any drugs in my life. Never, genuinely. Got pissed many times. Never done any drugs in my life. And I don't really have a massive view on vaccines. I'd have to have a right look into it. I haven't really looked at it yet. But I'm not a fan of injections, but I had all whatever you had to have as a kid. But this guy said, oh, this vaccine, I won't be having it. I won't be having it. We were talking about flights. I was looking at books and flights, and he said that if, because Sam wants to go to Malta again, she wants to go and see the baby, and he said that flights are going to start. I think Qantas had said you've got to have the vaccine before you can board one of their planes, and I want to go and see my sister sometime when this is all over. So we were talking about that, and he said, I won't be flying anywhere then because I won't have the vaccine. I said, why not? He said, oh, fuck all that. He said, you don't know what's in it, this, that, and the other. I have seen this guy. I've not seen him do it, but I know he has done it. I've been with him when he's gone off and done it and come back. Stick God knows how many tons of cocaine up his nose for 10, 15 years. And he doesn't give a fuck where he buys that or who that comes from. Outside race courses, and we went to Epsom for the Oaks Day. He was off in the... I mean, I didn't even know they did all that. They had amnesty bins at Epsom to put your drugs in. I genuinely not a world I am at all familiar with. And, he's a guy. I know he does all that, shoves all that shit up his nose. But he wouldn't have a vaccine that medical professionals have looked at. I don't mind if there be people who don't believe in it. If you've got some absolute overwhelming evidence that it's dangerous, then come forward so that I know what to do. But again, isn't it, you can't read any common sense about it. Fucking got doctors saying one thing, but Dave on Twitter says something else, so there you go. And stadiums, I see this is interesting. I've got no view on this yet, I'm just asking a question. I see now that they're going to let 4,000 people in stadiums. I haven't read enough about it. I just saw the headlines briefly yesterday. Well, up to 4,000 people in it and up to 2,000 somewhere. And I imagine this is going to be within your tiers. So is it fair? This is the thing I want to make out. Is it fair? Forget the big clubs. But if you take Sheffield United at the minute down bottom of the table and take a team like Brighton, both, you know, could be in a relegation scrap. And similar sort of smallish stadiums. Been to both of them. Sheffield United can't have any fans because of COVID, because they're in Tier X, whatever. But Brighton can have 4,000. 4,000 people can still make quite a noise. Or you take somewhere like Crystal Palace. You know, Palace bring 3,000-4,000 to Spurs. They make a lot of noise. Is it sportingly fair that Brighton could potentially have 4,000 fans cheering them on in a relegation scrap, or Crystal Palace? I'm not saying those teams will be in a relegation scrap, I'm just saying potentially. But Sheffield United or West Brom couldn't. Is that... I know you're going to have to sit people out, but I imagine it's pretty much only going to be home fans allowed. Is that maintaining everything they talk about the old Premier League, the integrity of the competition, I think is going completely all to shit. We don't know what we're doing with rules, with changing our ball rule. Managers now want to change the subs rule. It wouldn't surprise me if that changed. Is allowing fans... What's your thoughts, FTS Radio listeners? What are your thoughts? Do you think that it is fair that one team can have 4,000 fans in and another team can't? I think in the Tottenham Stadium, it wouldn't make a massive difference, but certainly in the smaller stadiums, you know, 4,000 fans getting behind Brighton if they're 1-0 up, holding on, it would make a difference, I would think. Particularly all those of you who think that the football's gone to shit because we can't have fans in and it's absolutely, you know, completely affected the game. You must have a view on it. Interesting. Let me know. Dial in. 0800 FTS. FTS. Should have that, shouldn't we? Have phone-ins. What else have I got? I don't think I've got anything else. Is there any football? There was a Japan this morning, but nothing has come up out of that. Have I got anything for this evening? It is a quiet old day, actually. Let's have a look at that one. Two tickies, my little friends. Two tickies. I didn't say bear with me, did I? I said two tickies. I am losing the plot. Here we go. We got a little first half goal. I've started something new today as well. Can't help myself. Just not started betting it. Just something I've extracted to look at out the sheets. Lon versus Nantes. Lons versus Nantes. If that is... I'm not sure I said that right. Lons versus Nantes. First half goal, if it is 0-0 on 25 minutes. Lon versus Nantes, 0-0, 25 minutes, drip late, a first half goal. I was going to tell you my San Francisco story. If you've heard it before, I apologise, but a couple of people have asked me to tell it. So I went to play golf in 1999 or 2000, was it? No, it'd have been 2000. It was just after 9/11, November of 2000, just after 9/11. Great security at airports. And I went to play golf in Palm Springs with three mates. We flew to Vegas for 3 days and then drove from Vegas down to Palm Springs for a week, 8 days golf, something like that. We've gone for 2 weeks. So I've gone through, we flew to Cleveland first. It was before Vegas, they did direct flights to Vegas. So we flew to Cleveland and then had to get a connecting flight to Vegas. And then we were flying home from LA. So I got to Cleveland, gone to passport control, gone through, no problem. We've gone off, we've had our 3 days and then driven down to Palm Springs, got home, no problem. Sam then said, I was coming up 30 in 2001. Sam said, had never been to Vegas. And she said, why don't we go for your 30th birthday, which was in the April. So we literally went for 3 days. I booked 3 days in Vegas for over my birthday, flying out the day before my birthday there, flying back the day after, madness, flying all that way for 3 days. Didn't go to bed. But we were flying to San Francisco and then going to drive up to Vegas from San Francisco, drive down to Vegas from San Francisco. No, we weren't. We were going to fly down. Sorry, it's a long time ago. I'm trying to remember it. We'd got a connecting flight. So we're flying to San Francisco, connecting flight to Las Vegas. And we've got to San Francisco Airport, and I have gone up to the thing. This is the first time Sam's been in the States. I've gone up to the passport control. We're both up there together. The guy has done what they do, swiped my passport, looked at me, and he says, follow the yellow line. I said, sorry. He said, you follow the yellow line. And there's like a 6-inch wide yellow line on the floor. And you go sort of past him. It turns right and takes you into, you go through another couple of doors, takes you into this room. I said, what? I'm like, what? He said, you follow the yellow line. That's it. That's all he said. So she's looked to him and said, do I go with him? And she went, nope, you stay here, you follow the yellow line. So I've gone off, followed this line, through this door. I've gone into the room. Bear in mind, this is now 6 months after 9/11. I've gone in, there's like two rows of seats, almost like a jury box. You sort of got one row and then another row up behind. And a pulpit down the far end. And the guy behind this pulpit is a black guy, probably, I'm not exaggerating, 6'4", 6'5", absolutely massive in his border force uniform. So I've gone through this door, I've walked past this sort of jury thing, I haven't really looked at it, gone and straight to him. I said, I've been told to come in here. He said, go and sit in the next available chair. So I've turned round, and as I've walked to this thing, towards this sort of jury layout, there were probably 15, 18 seats in two rows, and the front row is absolutely full, and the back row, there's probably about four people, and then I have to go and sit next to that one. And it is all, to a man, all Muslims, every single one of them. So I've gone up, sat there. I'm absolutely bricking myself. I'm not joking, I'm bricking myself. Now you're facing, he's to the left, the great big guy. He's to the left. You're now facing three rooms in front of you with windows, and people are being marched into these rooms and interviewed. And as somebody goes in a room, you shuffle along. So you work your way along the back row into the front row. I am sitting there. I'm absolutely petrified. I'm not going to lie. I'm absolutely bricking myself. Sam's out there. I've no idea what's going on with her. We've obviously got this connecting flight from San Francisco to Vegas, her first time. So I'm sitting there. It's taking for ages. It's taking 20 minutes a person. I've been in this room hour and a half, 2 hours. I go up to the thing when I'm sort of about still about six seats away. I go up to the desk, big guy still there. He says, I go up and said, my wife's out there, you know, what? Sit down, you'll be processed when you're processed. That's what he said. Well, fucking hell, okay, mate. And I sat down. I get to about number two, three out. And you can see these rooms, you can see in them. You can see they're sitting down, they're talking to people. Some people are going out and going the way they came. Other people are being taken off somewhere else. I can't tell you how much I'm bricking myself. Last place you want to be arrested in America. In my head, I'm sitting there thinking, what did I do? What did I do last time I was here? Did I get pissed and do anything? I'm absolutely, everything's going through my mind. So I sit there, and when I'm two or three out, there's one particular guy in the centre room, and it looks like it's getting a bit sort of heated in his room as they're talking. It's sort of shaded windows, but you could see in. And all of us, sort of all of a sudden, from the right, comes a great big black woman out of a door, and she is pulling on the old rubber gloves. As she's walking down the corridor, she's pulling on the rubber gloves. She's walking to this middle room. The officer in the middle room stands up and twists the blinds. So the blinds shut, so you now can't see in. The blinds shut, and this woman goes into this room. So it's quite clear what's going on now. Now we're going to have a full body search. I am absolutely petrified. I'm shitting myself. I'm almost in tears. I'm sitting there going, oh, why me? What's going on? And I mean, I'm absolutely petrified. Sam, we've missed our flight now. The flight's gone. Because I was in this room probably a good 4 hours. And I'm thinking, oh, Jesus Christ, I do not want the body search and this, that, and the other. What am I here for? And anyway, they've come. To me, and I've gone in this room, sat down, and I've played decent golf at the time, and I'd been there golfing, remember, and the guy said to me, have you got your golf clubs with you? I said, hey. He said, you know, went through my name. He said, have you got your golf clubs with you? I said, no. He said, why are you here? I said, it's my 30th birthday tomorrow. I've just come with my wife. She's out there somewhere. I don't know where she is. I said, she's going to be petrified. We're going to Vegas, literally a couple of days, and flying back home. He said, and you definitely haven't got your golf clubs. I said, no. He said, He said, I don't know. He said, we might have to be sending you home. I said, what is this all about? And they wouldn't really tell me. They just said, you know, if you got any sign of attitude, you just sort of, look, don't get any attitude, or we'll just put you on a plane home. And I said, can you at least tell me what this is about? And when we'd flown to Cleveland in the November, you know, you go up and they always, I don't know, those of you who've been to America, you know, some of them are dead silent. The guy was quite chatty when we went up. And he'd, I'd gone through with everything. I'd gone through, there's four of us, I'd gone through. The guy after me, who's a bit dim, lovely guy, Billy Blackjack. I'll explain that another day why he's called Billy Blackjack, but his name's Bill. And he I'd sort of done all the bit, oh, we're here to play golf for a week, blah blah blah, and we'd signed up to play in a couple of competitions down. It was like a competition week there, so we were playing like four or five friendly rounds and a couple of competition rounds at Indian Wells. And as I'd gone through, Bill was up next, and the guy started talking to Bill, and he said, yeah, I'm with the guy who's gone out before. Oh, you're here to play golf, Dilla, what are you playing in? And he led him to believe that we were playing golf in these competitions to win money, which we weren't. It was like, you know, you got gift vouchers and stuff like that, because you couldn't fly golf bags back home, or, you know, they gave you vouchers if you won. So he'd had this conversation with this guy. So the guy had basically noted on my file then that I'd been in America to play golf to win money. And I had to sit there. And this guy said, you played in this in November. You came out here to win money. You didn't have the correct... I said, no. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, it was a friendly golf thing. He said, well, no. And this went on now for about an hour, and I had to get, you know, bearing in mind the time zone, I had to get hold of the people I'd booked the stuff through. We were sending faxes. I was No, fair play, they let me make phone calls. It's getting them to send faxes to confirm that it was all above board. And it was just a competition we registered in England. There was no money involved, this, that and the other. And the guy said to me, he said, this is on your record in Cleveland. He said, if you come to America with golf clubs, you will be sent back home. Unless, and this is the strange part, he said, unless you can get the officer who put that on your record to remove it, which means when you get back to England, they said you need to phone Cleveland Airport. They gave me his name. You need to ask to speak to this guy, explain the situation. If he redacts it from your record, then you're fine. I thought, what if he dies? What if he dies? And I can't ever go and play golf in America again. But the whole thing, because it was 9/11 with the Muslims and we're seeing these gloves, I was an absolute nervous wreck. So genuinely, being a 4 or 5 hour process, I've got out eventually into the luggage hall and Sam is sat there in absolute tears. They won't tell her anything. And she, you know, they've tried to make her leave and she sort of said, well, I can't go anywhere. I don't know where we're going. I'm waiting for my husband. We've missed a flight. And we had to just sit and sort it out. But of course, when I've gone out, because she's upset there, she's now fuming as well. What did you do? What, I haven't done anything. I've now got to spend the first part of our holiday explaining that I hadn't done anything. And we did eventually get a flight and we got into Vegas in the sort of early hours of the next day. By the time we were checked in and just got absolutely hammered for 2 days and flew home. But and I did get hold of the guy in Cleveland. I did get back and I sort of a couple of days later from work, I made an effort to get hold of him and I did and they removed it. But I was absolutely petrified, absolutely. When you hear those words, follow the yellow line, I just absolutely shit myself. And as I say, I mean, obviously it was 9/11. You could see there was definitely a little bit of racial profiling going in by the people in the room. I was even after me, there was no other white guys that came in. Perhaps I look a little bit Muslim. Perhaps that woman, when I told you the story about Palm Springs, the woman who said, asked me if I was a Muslim, the old NRA fan. But there you go. Yeah, so it's not overly hilarious, but I'm sure some of you will have a laugh at the thought of me sat there as a younger man. I genuinely, it's the most scared I've been at anything in my life. Absolutely bricking it. I was bricking it. Anyway, that's it. That's all I've got. Enjoy yourselves. Have a lovely day. And I'll be back with you all. I'll be back with you all tomorrow. That's it. It's made me nervous just thinking about that again. I'll speak to you all later.